You do not come before God with the same attitude with which you approach your fellow man. He is your creator, not your equal, your sovereign ruler, not your fellow servant. He is God, not man. Think about that before you enter the next worship service. Everything in nature has its opposite. For up, there is down. For out, there is in. For yes, there is no. But sometimes that opposite is an enemy. For God, there is Satan. For faith, there is doubt. For obedience, there is rebellion. For life, there is death. For worship, there is complacency. Yes, I meant to say that the foe of worship is complacency. It is a person sitting in a worship service at church with his mind drifting off to other subjects. It is a person singing a hymn before the Lord with little thought for the words and even less thought for God. It is a person bowing during prayer but with no concern for conversation with God. All those are expressions of such a spirit of content with self and circumstances that there is no sense of need to meet God. I bring this message to you to warn that the spirit of self-satisfaction is a deadly foe to worship. Does it seem strange to say that discontent is necessarily a foe to worship? Well, it is. Jesus recognized that and gave a beautiful beatitude which says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Have you ever been hungry to the point of pain? Have you actually suffered for lack of water? If so, you will know the intense feeling that Jesus put in these words, hunger and thirst after righteousness. To be hungry is enough by itself. To be thirsty is enough by itself. But to be hungry and thirsty at the same time is to experience the whole body crying out for satisfaction. That intense yearning kills contentment with circumstances and self-satisfaction. It is the spirit which is essential to a true worship experience. So I call you to cultivate that kind of desire for God. A person remarked to a devoted Christian, "I would give the world if I could just walk as close to God as you do." "Well, that is exactly what it cost me," the Christian replied. And I say, listen to the heart cry of the ancient psalmist. "As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God." That's a graphic picture of a Christian hungering and thirsting after God in worship. Nothing can satisfy the thirsty deer but water, and nothing can satisfy the longing saint but God. Have you experienced that heart cry for God which says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That yearning is essential to true worship. I remember a particular week of revival services we held in our church. Because of the work schedule of our people, we had an early worship time at 6:30 in the morning, another worship at 12 noon, and yet another worship service at 7 in the evening. For 1 week, we met together before the Lord at that early morning hour. When the week was finished, we returned to our regular daily schedule. But oh, how I missed that early time with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we gathered round the Word of God and sought our Lord in prayer. I missed it as if I had not eaten breakfast. I found myself hungry for God in that early morning hour, and even my private morning devotional time was different after that week. If you love a person, you want that person to love you also. If you express affection to that person, you want that person to respond to your affection. Well, God has made us that way as a reflection of His image in us. You see, God loves us with an everlasting love. And He expresses His love toward us in countless ways. The chief way was when Jesus died for our sins. But God wants us to respond to His love. And the chief way for us to respond to His love is to seek Him in worship and to show His love to people as we serve them in His name. Worship is not cold and boring. It involves the Holy Spirit ministering in your human spirit. And every time you meet the Holy Spirit in the Bible, He is active. All through the Bible, the Spirit is witnessing, teaching, leading, assisting in prayer, empowering, filling, sealing, assuring. A worship service where God's Spirit is at work is alive and dynamic and inspiring. And if a worship service is cold to you, it is probably because you are cold in your desire for God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now that passage in Psalm 95 teaches us how to approach God. One, it says, we are to respond to His person by worship, recognizing His exalted person. Two, we are to express our worship by humility, that is, to bow down and to kneel in His presence. And the passage further describes our relationship with God. It says, on the one hand, He is our Creator, our Maker. Again, He is our God. Yet again, we are His people. Yet again, we can hear His voice. And finally, we can respond either positively or negatively to His voice. So the counsel is, harden not your heart. Now here is a good description of the true worship of God. You do not come before God with the same attitude with which you approach a fellow man. He is your Creator, not your equal. He is sovereign ruler, not fellow servant. He is God, not man. So think about that before you enter the next worship service. But lest we be so fearful of God that the very dread will hinder our worship, the psalm adds this statement, we are His people. Note that sense of intimacy and love in that statement. We really are His people. We are His people because He made us in His own image and likeness. We are His people because He chose us by His own sovereign choice. We are His people because He redeemed us through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. We are His. When we understand that, it puts us on shouting ground. Now approach God in true worship, and you will meet Him personally. In the inmost part of your being, you will hear His voice. It might be His message to you will be expressed in a hymn, the petition of a prayer, or a statement in a sermon. But if you will listen, you'll hear God's personal message to you. How could anyone be complacent, self-satisfied, and uninspired during a service of worship before God Himself? Satan has deceived those who think worship is dull and uninteresting. He's blinded their minds lest the light of the glory of God in Jesus Christ should shine through to them. The devil does not mind for you to attend services so long as you do not meet God. Father, we hear Your voice in the inmost recesses of our minds. In the depths of our spirit, we recognize Your presence. We acknowledge You as the sovereign God of the ages, and we invite You to be Lord over our lives. Oh, how we need to meet with You regularly and personally in worship. So teach us to worship You in spirit and in truth, and receive us for Jesus' sake. Amen.